KL 104.5 Zone. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Let's jump on board with a name that you know because he's been covering college football for a long time now. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, one of the OGs. Dennis, thanks for taking the time today to join us.
Blaine, Mickey, how are you guys? Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks.
Doing fantastic. So let's start with this. I was trying to, with all that's going on in the state of Tennessee and on Rocky Top, we get you on the show, and I'm thinking, how do I even phrase this question? And I wrote this down. We all like to compare things like, boy, I haven't seen anything like this since this time, or gosh, the last situation I remember like this was at this place. Can you even think of anything to compare with what we're seeing right now at Tennessee?
Yeah, the last time it happened at Tennessee. when a Twitter mob kept a very capable coach from being hired. How would Tennessee look right now? Just competency wise, lowering the temperature, as they say in Washington, with Greg Schiano right now. I think they'd be pretty darn good. There wouldn't be cheating. You know, they'd have their share of wins. Greg Schiano's a proven coach. Something they need right now.
Home with Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, talking college football and latest from Knoxville.
Yeah, Dennis. Yeah, man. How far does this put Tennessee football back in years in the program, or does it at all?
I think the biggest thing is, yeah, it does. As I wrote, I think the biggest thing is that, look, no matter who you settle on, let's say you get an AD real quick and you get a coach, you know, you're going to have to go over that hurdle of having what looks like a significant NCAA case in front of you. And the NCAA laid off a bunch of people last year. They laid off a bunch of people in enforcement, so they're behind there. So processing the case is going to be a problem. So that combined with the fact that the NCAA is distracted by the basketball scandal, those cases, only one of those has been decided in the 40 months since they had the announcement. You put all that in a blender, I think it's 2 years before they even find out what they get. You know, I'm looking at these cases. What? Kansas is going to be going on 3 years this fall, Kansas basketball, and they're going crazy. They're pulling their hair out. Yeah, okay, give us something. You know, just give us resolution. You know, we'll fight it. We won't fight it, whatever. But the best thing Tennessee did a couple days ago was just kind of throw themselves at the mercy of the NCAA. I've never seen a CEO of a university detail the level of alleged infractions before they even got their notice of allegations. You know, the NCAA isn't even through investigating yet. And we're talking about firing 8 people, 9 people, several level 1, level 2 violations. You saw what Dan Patrick said yesterday, detailing maybe what they were. I think it's 2 more years before you even get a decision in this.
Oh, wow, man. We're with Dennis Dodd, National College Football writer with CBS Sports. With that being said, then, I'm going to put you in the CEO hat there, Dennis. You've been around a long time. You know how these things work. Would you then go down the road of Kevin Steele for stopgap guy, like kind of like Matt Luke did there at Ole Miss? Or do you say, I'm going to get my top 3 lists regardless? And can you get some of those high-end, coaches, to be honest, that's proven on your list?
Yeah, I think you can make a case for both. I think you make a case for Kevin Steele being, you know, a 1-year bridge coach / try out for the job while you take your time with the AD and then the coach, find out what's out there, find out with more clarity maybe what you're going to get from the NCAA or how far that case is down the line and who you can attract. Would Tom Herman come? Yeah, he might come. Would Gus come? Yeah, he might come. But, you know, there's pluses and minuses to both of those. So do you just hire an AD in a week and then hire a coach in another week, or do you take your time? I can make a case for both. I'm not saying one is better than the other because, whoever gets this job, if they get a certain person, that would be the 6th consecutive coach that's been the head coach of Tennessee without having previous Power Five head coaching experience. And that includes Phil. You know, that the great things he did. And I'm not disparaging him. I'm just saying he's on that list. So do you want to do that, or, you know, do you want to wait? And I think they need, the first thing they need is a sitting Power Five AD. Ideally, I don't know if that person's out there. I forget the gentleman's name at East Carolina who's got ties. Is it John? Help me out.
Gilbert.
Yeah, John Gilbert, the AD. He's not a Power 5 AD, but he's got ties to Tennessee, so he fits the description, I think. You've got to get a solid guy in there. You've got to get somebody who's sat in a chair and done the job before at a high level. And then you proceed from there. You know, you do your search committee, you line up your candidates. And there may be a thought within you know, within the administration, just let's take our time and get the right person, because look what happened when we did rush things, you know, when we didn't stand behind our guy and we went out and got an unproven coach. And at the time, I said that when he got hired, I thought it was a good hire at the time, but he was unproven, Jeremy Pruitt. So I can make a case for both.
Well, with Dennis Dodd, National College Football writer for CBSSports.com.
Dennis, a lot of people are saying, based on how things finished under Jeremy Pruitt and based on things that were said in the news conference, which we haven't even asked you your thoughts on the news conference yet. I think a lot of people had some thoughts about the news conference, but I think a lot of people read that is they're not going to hire Hugh Freeze.
No, that would be – now, look, I would put nothing past Tennessee. Hugh Freeze wants the job desperately, but as things stand right now, that would be thumbing your nose at the NCAA. You're in the middle of a major infractions case, and you're going to hire a guy who I choose these words carefully because I get in trouble with Hugh whenever I say it. He was in charge when the major infractions case happened at Ole Miss. That's true. You know, it's true his name never appeared in the report. Okay, we get that. But he was the CEO running things when they eventually got a two-year bowl ban, one self-imposed, one from the NCAA. And that probation expired like 45 days ago, November 30th, 2020. So that would be just thumbing your nose at the NCAA, I haven't even gotten to Greg Sankey yet, whether he would sign off on it or not. Now, I was told and I wrote that he had signed off on Hugh Freeze going to South Carolina. I don't know if he'd do that at Tennessee.
On with Dennis Dodd. So let's just ask you this. I know you mentioned, you know, if you could get a Gus Malzahn, you threw out a couple of names. If you're a Vols fan, who do you see as realistic, you know, nobody's saying any groomers, John Gruden this time, but who are realistic candidates, Dennis, that if somebody called you a source right now and said, hey, Dennis, this guy's taking the job, you'd go, okay, that sounds right. Who are realistic candidates?
I think the two I mentioned, I think Tom Herman, unless those guys want to sit back and count their buyout money, and maybe they do. You know, I think they'd be interested. But again, there's pluses and minuses to both those guys. There's questions about Gus's development of quarterbacks at a time when Tennessee desperately needs to catch up in that area in a league that's producing them better than any other conference in the country. I mean, if there's a league in the country that says, you got a quarterback, you got a chance. The SEC, look what's happened the last 2 years. So they need to have somebody who's really good at quarterback development. You know, Tom Herman has, you know, there's a reason both these guys, there's reasons that both these guys were just let go at their schools. You know, I like a guy, and this may never happen, but I like a guy like Bill Clark. It may be a package deal. Mark Ingram, the AD, and Bill Clark. Talk about a guy when his name would come up for these jobs. Yeah, but it's UA. Well, you know what? You're Tennessee, and you need somebody who's got energy and drive and is a program guy, which is what he is at UAB. Took it from death, took it from nothing, and now they're building a stadium with the momentum they've created there and played for, what was it, Conference USA two out of the last 3 years. I don't think that'd be the worst thing in the world. You know, at least he's been a head coach. And he's faced the worst thing you can face. He's brought it back from the dead. So, I mean, there'll be other names up there. And I'll guarantee you this, none of it will happen without the hand of Jimmy Sexton in it. So start looking at his clients. I just mentioned a couple of them.
Right, right. Is there a home run guy? Is there just a name that's been floated to you that you thought, holy cow, if they could pull that off, is there just a grand slam home run guy who's realistic?
There isn't, because I don't think there is right now because of the NCAA investigation. You know, That's the first thing I said when it came down a couple of days ago. Who of substance would take this job right now? And okay, you've got Gus and you've got Tom Herman. Are those guys home runs? I don't know. I mean, the fact that I'm not saying yes right away probably says no. Would they be accepted at Tennessee? Yeah. But, you know, Tennessee has to swing big. Urban Meyer isn't out there. Nick Saban isn't coming. So who's that next person? Texas probably just got him, and Steve Sarkisian. You know, bad timing for Tennessee. So who's that next person out there? I don't know if that home run hire is out there.
With Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports.
From the NFL that I have thought of.
I put
that list together the other day, and I said, yeah, this is a pretty good list, but I don't see anybody who, this is the guy to calm the waters.
Well, Dennis, I'm going to ask the question a little bit differently, and you can have an opinion about it or not. How about a surprise, coach that nobody's talking about that could potentially be on Tennessee's list? Because she talked about integrity the whole time, Plowman. Mm-hmm. And so they may go down a route of someone of high integrity, whether they've, you know, coached at a Power Five or not.
Oh, gosh. You hit me there. I don't know. I'd have to have my list in front of me. I don't know. I'll pass on that one. I don't know if there is that person right now.
Well, let's talk about
there's a lot of guys with integrity. You know, again, Bill Clark has integrity.
Right.
But, you know, do you want a guy that coached at UAB? And, you know, maybe you do. I don't know.
And me, he can have some success at Tennessee. He's built a program for sure. I guess let's talk a little bit about basketball in that, you know, we just saw here in Nashville, Vandy's women's basketball postponed their whole season or canceled their season. And if more of this happens, what do you think March Madness is going to look like, and how is it going to work through and navigate through all of this? Because they can't afford to have another season missed right in March Madness.
It's going to look a lot like football, where at the end of the season, you're driving through a car wash hoping not to get wet. And football got lucky. You know, they finished it with, 20% of the games not being played, with five different scheduling philosophies and different medical philosophies. Basketball, I thought from the beginning, would have a problem. Excuse me, because you're playing three times a week, and you're playing indoors, so you're just inviting this. I think there's a chance if they don't finish it, then we play the tournament in May or something like that, just to push it off where, okay, now we have a good chance of a lot of people having the vaccine. But the way it's going now is not good. And you see, no one can answer this question for me. Why are all these women's programs canceling a season, but none of the men? I mean, it almost highlights the fact that we know, guys, there's a lot of revenue involved here, not with women's basketball, but with men's basketball. I'm just curious. I'm just throwing the question out there. All the teams that have canceled their seasons that I know of in the power conferences have been women.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And speaking of that, you know, is there any byproduct from COVID-19 happening here, and we're still going through it? Hopefully we're going down the stretch here that will help football or basketball or other, major sports that may change or look differently in a year or so?
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot more recruiting by Zoom. A lot of coaches liked it. Mm-hmm. A lot of coaches didn't. You know, you don't get to know the person. But I had one coach tell me that when that recruit is in front of the camera on his computer looking at you, he's got nowhere to go. He can't be looking off in display. He can, but you learn a lot about him. You know, there's no phone ringing. You're not in the couch with the family in a home. You learn a lot about those people. And there's some thought from the AFCA, the American Football Coach Association, to bring that a step further. What happens during these on-campus visits? Well, parents meet each other, and recruits meet each other, and they share ideas, what they think of the school. Why not let, as part of the recruiting process officially, these parents meet by Zoom and talk about this? I think you're going to see a lot more of the recruiting process and maybe even the recruiting calendar teams because of this. Now you have, what is it, till April 15th, a dead period, and there's no guarantee that's going to be lifted. It probably will be extended, I would think. So now you're already talking about more than a year of recruiting by Zoom, and you're talking about in this early signing period, I asked coaches about this, a lot of coaches signed players they'd never met. They'd never met in person. So I think that's a problem. You know, you want to get to know the person. But they're going to take away some good things from that. I think we're going to have that. The scheduling stuff, I don't – people have talked about, oh, well, you know, BYU and Coastal set up that game at the end of the season. Why can't everybody do that? I don't think we're going to have a bracket buster games at the end of the season to just to match up teams that look like good games. There's too much involved in football. Can do that easier in basketball. But there's going to be some changes, no doubt.
Well, with Dennis Dodd, National College Football writer for CBS.
Dennis, since we're kind of getting deep in the weeds here on just some general NCAA stuff, one thing that just keeps bubbling out there on the back burner and is going to come to the front burner sooner than later is name, image, and likeness. And the NCAA seems to be like the bird in the commercial that keeps sticking its head under the sand. And eventually that bird's got to bring its head out into the light.
Yeah, this got how much time do we have? This thing is this was going to be the most transformative year in NCAA history because of that. It still is, but now it's just put off. The NCAA last week was supposed to vote in name, image, and likeness. It was going to take effect August 1st for the next academic year. Well, a Supreme Court case came up where the NCAA and the conferences have appealed to the Supreme Court, and they've agreed to hear this case regarding the Alston case, which has to do with benefits tethered to education and would impact NIL. The first Supreme Court case heard by the highest court since 1984 in that landmark Bursiaga case, which allowed the schools to televise their own games. They've got that. I'm told, so the NCAA got spooked by that. You know, we have to wait till the Supreme Court decides. Then you had two Fridays ago, number two guy at the Department of Justice kind of rattled some sabers about antitrust in the NCAA and capping benefits for name, image, and likeness, which is a real problem because that's how we got here in the first place. You know, if you're going to cap the benefits, that could be an antitrust concern. So what I'm told is this is now going to be decided when the Supreme Court, that all the stakeholders are being told June. They're going to decide it by then. The problem there, guys, is the Florida law, which is a very liberalized version of what the NCAA wants. And I don't mean that politically. I mean it would give a lot of benefits to the players. It goes into effect July 1st. And they think they can turn it around and get some sort of legislation ready. And I haven't even talked about how Washington may weigh in, which is significant in a now all-blue administration, Senate, House, and in the White House, how they may weigh in on this. So it's going to be fascinating, and it's going to be a mess.
Fascinating mess, sort of like the show every day. No, I'm just kidding. All right, on the way out, we ask you a bunch of Tennessee stuff to start. I'll ask you this on the way out. How is Tennessee viewed right now, just as a program, as a sports program, if somebody's looking at the head coaching job or the AD job from the outside in? How is it viewed?
I think from the outside in, it's viewed as, they can't keep from stepping in it, you know, everywhere they go. It's a program that should be better than it is. I wrote in my column Tuesday, I said it's got plenty of tradition, more than most schools, but Alabama's smoking most of the cigars these days. And none of that tradition means much when it's a General Nayland documentary on the SEC Network. You know what I'm talking about. There's a generation of fans and people that have grown up that weren't even alive the last time they won big. So they've got to get that back. They should be better. But again, from the inside out, they can't keep from getting out of their own way. They need somebody to take the reins. They need the AD version of Nick Saban, who in 2007 came to Alabama and said, okay, I'll come there, but I'm going to only answer to one person, and that's the president. And that's what the AD does anyway, but, he has to have complete control, have a vision, what they're going to do, how they're going to get out of this NCAA mess, and then just get better. I mean, it'll help. that the transfer portal and one-time transfer now is turning into basically a free agent market where you can sign an entire class from there if you want to. A lot of coaches are going to start doing that because high schoolers take time to develop, and they're going to transfer anyway if they don't start right away. So why not get these guys who are going to stay? But they need to start at the bottom. I mean, the thing's been burned to the ground. I said it was an athletic version of self-inflicted arson, football arson. And now they've burned the thing to the ground. They need to build it up slowly.
Dennis, great stuff, man. Thank you. Thanks for the time. If people, you mentioned several times things you'd written, CBSSports.com, or just follow Dennis on Twitter at Dennis Dodd, CBS will get you there. Dennis, thank you again.
All right,
appreciate it, Dennis.